The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
It's familiar, but not too familiar, but not too not familiar. It's a new craze. Hey, good girls, do you wanna just say, hey, I wanna? Just say, hey, I wanna.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to my brother and me, an advice show for the modern era. I'm your oldest brother, Justin McElroy, brought to you by Captain America Civil War in theaters now.
I'm your middlest brother, Ant-Man.
I almost said middlest brother, but that would be a lie. I'm the sweet baby brother, Griffin.
That's a fucking lie. That is my branding.
We got a civil war of our own, brother against brother.
I want to be the middlest brother. I want to switch ages with Travis. And I think I've found a witch on the internet that can do that for me.
We could do it through cryogenic freezing, much like, spoiler alert, the Winter Soldier Bucky Barnes.
Captain America Civil War pits Captain America.
Is this an official watch? Is this an official Civil War watch?
This is an official Captain America Civil War watch.
You know what that means? Let me scoop up all my DVD copies of Kung Fu Panda 3 and throw them right into the burnerator.
We should also say that nothing we're about to say should be taken as fact. Yep. I don't want anyone yelling at me about spoilers because none of this is true.
Now, let me give a straight recap of the plot and then we'll get into some jokes about it.
Okay.
Just to set the ground rules.
Okay.
So Iron Man loves slaves.
Uh-huh.
And he wants nothing more than to keep his massive army of slaves.
Who do you think that's how he made all of his money off of his plantations.
And who do you think builds all of his many, many robotic armor suits for him? It's not him, and it's not Pepper Potts.
It's not Pepper Potts. It's Iron Man, and he's a slaver, and he loves slaves. Captain America's like, not on my watch, girlfriend. And they get into a big scrap about it. Mm-hmm. Some of the superheroes love slaves.
Yeah, a lot of them.
Yeah, some of them do. Not
the ones
all
you would expect, right? Slave man, definitely.
Definitely.
Okay. Racist, yeah. Dr. Racist. Mm-hmm. He definitely loves slaves.
Yeah.
But there are some surprises in
the
there, too.
The gentrifier.
Cheap, loves slavery.
Cheap labor woman.
The overseer.
And, of course, Ant-Man, which is like, what?
That's so weird. Yeah. What? What?
Well, you're you have to know that Ant stands for antebellum.
Back. We're off to the races.
So that's the film, Captain America Civil War Watch. I guess the question on everybody's mind is, Travis, how many times have you seen it?
16, Justin.
Now, is those just back-to-back viewings?
No, they were just one chunk at a time. I had to take breaks because it was too intense.
The racism was a little, it kind of like filled up the theater with a weird a weird energy.
Especially
it was
when
like
the
a Trump rally in there. It was really off-putting.
Especially when the racists win.
Yeah.
And I don't want to spoil anything, but like racism is not only, it's like codified by the end of it. They put it in the Constitution.
Yeah.
And I don't think that they should do
and
that.
And Iron Man wrote it, and he was wearing the Iron Man suit when he wrote it by pen, so it's almost illegible. Which like I think constitutional scholars are going to be arguing, like, is that a comma or is it a apostrophe or is it a J? That's how bad Iron Man, when in his suit, his penmanship is. Just think about it.
Just think about it. You're not signing a lot of documents in there.
I think the weirdest part is at the end when like Bruce Banner is like walking away sadly and he looks at the camera and says, who knew that the Hulk's one weakness was racism?
Yeah.
And it's then really weird, but
and
like
then he dies.
Powerful.
Yeah. All right, boys, we gotta talk about it. Whose team are you on? Iron Man or Captain America?
Which one was the racist team?
Yeah, the one that's not racist, I guess, right?
I'm going to say the non-racist team. I mean, I do love Ant-Man.
Yeah, I mean, I love Ant-Man.
Yeah, that's a problem, is Paul Rudd puts on a great character portrayal of Ant-Man.
Let me gauge your guys' opinion. Is Paul Rudd America's most lovable racist?
I don't want to espouse that sort of sentence.
He's playing a role.
As
his portrayal, does he make Ant-Man America's most lovable?
Although you know what I heard, he was on set. He was actually kind of difficult to work with, which I can't even imagine because it is It is him. But I was worried. I think I've heard in the magazines that he was on some Jared Leto shit. Just like being kind of racially charged.
He also insisted that everyone be bigger than him.
Which is so weird. That's how they did that. Do you know that they did that effect?
Yeah.
And it's very wasteful.
Yeah.
But they made when he shrinks, they just made everything around him very big.
Big gun. Yeah, like
in the Hobbit.
Yeah, except like times a billion, because it's like, make a gun the size of a building, make an Anthony Mackie the size of a town.
And it's all practical.
And it's all
like,
practical.
They're the giant, like if you go to Muncie, there's a giant statue of Anthony Mackie, and it's like, well, we just didn't have anything else to do.
Where are we going to put him?
That's just where they left the biomech suit that they put regular sized Anthony Mackie in.
All right, this next segment's for all the comic book nerds out there. Who's your favorite comic book hero cameo in this one? Because mine was Red Boy, who teamed up with Iron Man, which was a little bit disappointing. But I was surprised to see Red Boy in there. He had such a limited run in Image Comics.
I like the cat guy.
Which one?
The cat guy.
Kitty Cat Man.
Kitty Cat Man.
Yeah.
Kitty Cat Man jumped around really good.
He jumped around fast and strong.
And at one point he jumped and I was like, ooh, good kitty. And it was pretty cool.
I like the Great Emancipate Thor, which was
weird.
Thor in an Abraham Lincoln costume. Like as if we wouldn't notice.
Oh, I thought that was Abraham Lincoln had picked up Thor's hammer.
No.
I misread that.
Abraham Lincoln, let me say this. If any of our presidents are able and worthy to wield the power of Mjolnir, it would definitely be Abraham Lincoln.
Did you just say Mjolnir like it was French?
Mjolnir.
Like it was a French philosopher.
How you pronounce it? What do you say, Trav? Mjolnir, the hammer.
Mjolnir.
I'm Trav.
Mjolnir.
Mjolnir.
Mjolnir. Mjolfar. That's just a little joke I like to make to teach people about near and far.
Mjolnir. I guess the side I'm on is Captain America Civil War 2. How about it, Hollywood? I'm ready. I'm not getting out of my chair until it shows up on the screen.
I want Captain America Civil War 2 to just be like, I'm mad at you again. Well, I'm mad at you again.
I'm still mad at you from the first time. I'm Red Boy. Just kidding. Red Boy dies in the first one.
Kitty Cat Man eats him and then spits him back up.
Kitty Cat Man eats him a whole. Let's, God, we can't go an episode spits without out a four. Bullets. Yeah. Can we do some advice?
Yes.
But go see Captain America Civil War. Support indie projects.
Support indie comics.
Local.
Happy free comic book movie day. Go see it. It's free.
Hey, brothers. I went to free comic book day,
by the way. And before I lay waste to free comic book day, I spent like $150 at my comic book shop. So I'm supporting the whole industry, I guess. I had never done free comic book day, and I rolled up. I was like, free comics, here they come. And they're like, here's an Archie little sampler. It's 3 pages long. I was like, I can't finish to this. You know what I mean?
That's horse apples. I got that same Archie, and it's the entire first episode. It's a bold new direction for the franchise.
Well, damn, you put me on blast.
Yeah, maybe if you're going to make a joke, it should be about something
I guess I just prefer graphic novels, you know, something with a little bit more meat and heft to it. A little bit more seriousness. Less play.
You know what I like is Saga. You guys read Saga?
Fuck yeah, Saga.
Good book. Did you buy any Saga?
No, I bought that new Hawkeye. Let's move on, though.
Hell yeah. My spouse and I will be attending a rather unconventional wedding and weekend retreat. The bride and groom are total hippies, and according to the invitation, we can expect such activities as clothing optional pool parties and all-night unspecified, quote, ritual.
Justin, you added a fucking Yogi Bear extra syllable to the word activities. And I'm going to...
Activities. I'm here to participate in the activities. Excuse me.
I'm Antebellum Man.
Where can I put my cane? I'm Antebellum Man. I'm here for the activities.
I would like a Moma Mojito.
You know, the famous southern drink, the Moma Mojito.
Moma Mojito.
All right.
Mojito Momo. All right, go on.
I got Tommy Hilfiger trunks.
All right.
But my real quandary is what to wear. The requested attire for the ceremony is, quote, elegant kooky.
That is not a thing. That's not That's some My Fair Wedding with David Tatera, Candace Sheik bullshit. That's not anything.
I need some. It's their wedding, Griffin. I need some style advice, brothers. Can I get some specific suggestions for elegant, kooky men's and women's clothing that will be wedding appropriate? That's from Wacky Wedding Wardrobe Woes in Washington. And let's not kid around. That place is going to be a zoot suit riot. I mean, 100%,
it's
going to
be
right?
amazing. I want, okay, I also just want to like jump right out there and say, I don't have a problem with you saying, I want my wedding, I want people to wear like eccentric, kooky attire. But when you say a term like elegant, kooky, that's just not a fit, like that's just not a classification.
It's going to be a fucking Paula Poundstone cosplay convention up in this shit.
Yeah. You might as well just say, like, I want it to be wacky formal. Like, what is that? Does that mean I show up in a tuxedo t-shirt? Does that mean I wear my suit backwards? Does that mean that it's, like, black tie and also silk tunic?
This is why,
like,
I
don't know.
It's your wedding day. Chase your bliss. Do whatever. But the this is one thing where your bliss can't be chased. You need to let your bliss run away, and then you chase your pragmatism, because this is a direction that you are giving literally every person that's coming to your wedding. An elegant kooky doesn't mean a fucking thing. It doesn't fucking
mean anything. It carries no connotation whatsoever.
I would definitely, like, to me, I would definitely want to, like, wear basically everything F. Murray Abraham wore in Amadeus. Like, that would this would be my one chance.
Oh, this is fun. Where would you go with it?
To definitely get, I would go frock. I would have, like, the whole look, the powdered wig, that whole fun thing. Maybe, like, a birds in there, birds in my wig, that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
I love that style.
I would go tearaway tuxedo, and then I would be wearing, inspired by the Flophouse, a tuxedo underneath.
That's fun.
Oh, nice.
I would go full. I mean, you guys know. I already said I would totally pound my stone, but I would also have like a little bit of the mask, like the Cuban Pete scene in there. Mm-hmm. By which I mean I would be wearing a latex mask.
Oh yeah,
from the mask.
Nothing says elegant kooky like the mask.
But also, again, big suit, big tie, big loud tie, big loud collars, big loud pinstripe suit.
I would wear
butt cutout
suspenders.
I would wear a very regular, normal tux, except when you get like super close, you can see it's all fruit by the foot.
Oh, nice. That's pretty kooky.
And if you want, and I'm like, and when people get close enough, I just like whisper in the ear, like, want a nibble, like that.
Want a nibble?
Now you're getting into spooky kooky.
Yeah,
nibble. That's good. I mean, that's kooky as all get out.
What about like a body paint suit?
Okay.
I feel like that's elegant kooky. Like, I'm trying to think what you got to get the kooky and you got to get the elegant.
That's a great look if you're beautiful and cut. And I'm assuming a lot of people at this wedding will be.
Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely. If I show up in a body painted tuxedo, people are just going to be shouting, like, that man is made of eels.
Yeah.
Somebody stop him. Help that man.
Can I just go in a regular suit that I have poured a bunch of soup all over?
You mean a soup suit.
I'm talking about my soup suit riot.
Riot! Don't buy the bottle of Chunky.
It'll be a multiple soup situation. I can do chili in my pocket. And then, like, somebody's like, does anybody have anything they want to say to stop this wedding? Which is what they say. Then you slap your pocket and, like, chili comes splatting out all over the place. And people are like, Griffin, you got us
again. I like that, Griffin, because you're not just a guest. You're the caterer.
Yes.
If you're going to wear a soup-stained suit, you better hope that everybody's aim with the birdseed at the end is
very
really
good.
Great.
Yeah.
Like, very good. If they're throwing rice and it just sticks to you, you're going to turn into a one-man golden corral for birds.
When I was in college and I needed money, I would go to high-end parties, and I would be naked, and I would just, like, lie down on a big table naked, and people would eat, not sushi off of my nude body, but just different soups.
There's different soups from your crevices, you mean?
Well, no, it was just kind of caked on. They had to, like, really scrape it. This is old soup.
Just a real dry soup.
Like a real dry, old, dry, old, dry
like
soup.
Like powdered soup.
And they would have to scrape it off I would actually just hold it in my hands for them. The fresh hot soup, I would hold in my hands and just sort of lift up to their mouth. Here you go, sir. Please enjoy.
Maybe just wear a regular ass tuxedo. And then when people say, like, what's the kooky element? Look at them dead in the eye. Just like, don't you get it? And then put it back on them.
Okay.
Make them cook it up.
You could also,
or just like a Marvin the Martian tie.
Can you wear a tuxedo top, cargo shorts bottom?
Oh, that's fun.
Ooh, I like that. That's very like 80s, early 90s.
When I was
like
in,
you would see that character in like a college comedy. Yeah.
I used to do the formal top, shorts, bottom. I discovered that look in middle school a lot. I wore it a lot. And I'm looking back at it now. Let me close my eyes and like really get a picture of my mind's eye, because I'm pretty sure. Oh, yep. I did look like Laura Dern in Jurassic Park.
Are you talking about a look that I know myself, I sort of like endeavored into was like a long sleeve plaid with jorts, was like one that I know that I definitely had at some point. And the weird thing was, because it had buttons on it, I felt like pretty good about it. Like, yeah. Like, I mean, I'm making a go at this thing called fashion today.
I was not above in high school. I remember at least once, probably multiple times, wore a dress shirt, like a button up dress shirt, and tearaway pants, like tearaway workout pants. And I was like, yeah, because I was like in show choir and theater and stuff. So it was cool, you guys, until even like the show choir kids were like, hey, man, you need to not. You need to get that shit together.
I wore tearaway pants to gym class just to make it easier on the bullies.
Wait, the bullies were just tearing your pants off?
But that's
they would just shred my pants off like pants hyenas.
But that's it. Like, you made it too easy on them, and then they didn't want to do it anymore. Ah, this isn't even fun anymore. It's like he likes it.
Yeah. I did just wear sweatpants and a t-shirt to school forever when I was in gym, because I couldn't change in the locker room, so I just wore gym clothes. God.
All right, let's do a Yahoo.
Yeah, please get me out of this
real.
Yeah, we're all really deep in this pit, but that's okay, because we've been here before.
Yeah, elegant kooky.
This one was sent in by Rachel Rosing, Game Recognized Game. Thank you, Rachel. It's by Yahoo Answers user. Oh, they're anonymous. In the sports martial arts category, they ask, oh, let's give him a name. Precious, not Precious, asks, I want to learn MMA, but I am worried about safety. I know it's a stupid concern, as fighting is not a safe thing to do, but I really want to be able to defend myself without losing all my brain function. How do MMA classes normally deal with average working people who don't go down the professional route as like a hobby? I want to learn MMA. The getting hit part, I could do without that part.
This is actually not a terrible question, because like, how do you do like amateur MMA in such a way that you make it clear, like, I know I could do it better with harder hitting, but
this is predicated on the existence of another person who doesn't want to do the punching part of it and only wants to be hit.
But is this person concerned about the death toll of MMA classes? Like, we lost another one. Like,
It's probably low.
Would have to think this is a concern that has been dealt with before now.
Let me
like
say,
a
Trav,
teacher I, going, wait, no one wants to get hit, huh?
Ah, damn it.
I want to go out on a limb and bet that number 8-0, though.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to go out. Yeah, it ain't nothing. When you go to the part where you're training regular, okay, and learn all the moves, and then when it's time to spar with a partner, get this, you throw a paper mache version of yourself in the ring.
Interesting. That's some ninjutsu shit.
Yeah, like
I would watch that training montage.
Yeah, and they're already like attacking it. And punching it, and like they punch you in your solar plexus, and they're like, that's a death blow. Their hand goes clean through you, and then they come out, and what do they have in their hand? A Zagnut. You're full of candy.
Oh,
that's
shit.
Right. You've self-pinata'd, and that is the safest thing you can do. Because who's going to think about punching when they got a delicious Zagnut to enjoy?
What I love about that is that I think that movies like Karate Kid have taught us that the fastest way to win is not to fight, right?
Absolutely. So you want to skip ahead.
Right. So maybe that's what every MMA teacher is waiting for, to have one student who's like, no, you know what? No. And then everybody just raises them up on their shoulder, gives them like 3 black belts, and like just dances them around the place, because like they're the only people who have figured out MMA. They're just waiting for like Chuck Liddell to be like, you know what? I don't want to punch anymore. And everyone's like, you're the hero now.
You've taught us a valuable lesson. MMA is canceled, everybody.
No more MMA.
No more. You know what I would
do?
They
solved it. Why are we even doing this?
I would do, like, in the Sherlock Holmes movie with Robert Downey Jr.,
Mm-hmm.
And I would do that thing where, like, I see
do
them,
you mean
like,
the only good Sherlock Holmes?
Oof. I see the man who I'm fighting start to twist back, and he's shirtless. Should I slow down? And he's shirtless, and he's twisting backwards to, like, give me a good old haymaker. And I'm looking at his muscles inside his body, and he's moving in slow motion. And, like, this, like, user interface sort of appears over him. And it's, mm-hmm. like, weak left ribs, punch impact coming in 2 seconds, blind spot in right eye. And I'm, like, fucking analyzing all of his data and his weak points and shit and, like, checking out his HP. And then, like, once I've fully scanned him like that, I can dodge all his blows and punch him where it would hurt his body the most.
It just occurred to me that, like, Sherlock Holmes, Robert Downey Sherlock Holmes basically just has Jarvis again.
Yeah.
Like, he loved having a computer in his head so much. He's like, let's do it again, guys. Hey, guys, listen to me. RDJ, listen, I was thinking, could you have a robot in my head again?
Wouldn't it be great if that scene played out with him analyzing all the weaknesses while he was getting punched?
Yeah, that would,
like,
probably be
more.
As
the guy's punching him, he's like, poof, weak left eye, poof, limp on the left leg. Poof.
Travis, I was just in the pupil state of a note perfect Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah, you really crunched it.
History will never forgive you for not letting that blossom emerge from its chrysalis into the world's most perfect Robert Downey Jr. impression.
Do you want to? Is it too late to take a second stab?
It's gone, baby. Fuck. It's gone.
I should clarify. I also liked the young Sherlock Holmes, where there was, like, the fear toxin, and there was a part where, like, the buns came to life, and, like, all the sweets were attacking.
I don't think I have the fighting prowess required mm-hmm. to slow motion scan my enemies. But could I make them think that I was to scare them away from me? Like, that would be my self-defense. Like, if I see somebody coming for me with a big old barrel of punches that they're about to upend on me, then I can look at them and be like, scanning left eye Lopez, right ribs, mm-hmm. former broke left wrist. In 1996, weak left wrist, legs are soft legs.
Maybe just start, like, undiagnosed appendicitis. One punch could kill.
Oh, and yeah.
Like, whoa, I'm out.
That would be good. Loose brain.
Or what if you went psychological, Griffin, and analyzed them psychologically, and you were just like, friends and family never loved them, and you just, like, were instead, like, throwing out kind of more psychological barbs.
Dad is a time traveler, isn't home very much. That's right, my dad is a time traveler.
At least that's what he tells me.
How did you know?
Goes for Mrs. Trips.
I've got another question.
What if you just decided to, like, you know about cosplaying? What if you, like, cosfighted? What if you said, like, listen, Iron Man, like, you got in the ring, got in his head, like, hey, listen, Iron Man, I'm not going to fight you. I'm your best friend, Captain America. We can't do this.
Yeah.
I think that would be hugely distracting.
That would be. It's me, Red Boy. Well, fuck, I can't punch Red Boy.
I'm not going to punch Red Boy. We're fast friends. On my way to work, I stop at a coffee shop. There is a barista there who, whether he is working or just hanging out on his off hours, stares at me like he wants to murder me and wear my skin every single day. It's majorly creepy and unsettling and not a great start to my day. What do I do? Do I ignore it? Do I go to a different coffee place that's not as convenient? Do I tell a manager, even though I'd feel bad if it got him fired? Creepers need jobs too? And that's from Coffee Conundrum.
There's a sandwich shop very close to me that has some boys in it that made me feel uncomfortable. Not in, like, a danger place, but just, like, they don't respect this sort of social cues that me or anybody else in line at this place puts out. And so we have just stopped going to that sandwich place, going
Can
to
you
a
give
different
me
sandwich
a little
place.
More a little more color. Like, what are you saying?
Yeah. That could be anywhere from, like,
all right,
giggling
just,
at you.
Yeah, okay. Let's just role play. Justin, you're me. Okay. And I really want you to sort of take your own sort of social needs and desires into hey man, how's your weekend?
Wait, am I you? So I'm you?
Yes.
Okay.
I'd like a pepperoni sandwich, please.
Oh, cool, man. I'll whip that up for you. And then I'm going to sing, like, a little song, like, while I do it. Like, literally sing a song. And I'm going to look up at you and be like, so how was your weekend?
How's the sandwich coming? It was fine.
Okay, so this isn't going to work, is it? This role play session.
Let me try. Let's recast it.
I liked Justin better because I know that his like social stuff's not as good as yours.
I got you.
Okay. Hey man, how was your weekend?
Pokemon.
All right, fuck you guys.
Sounds like they have a joyful heart, like they're approaching the world and their work with a joyful heart, and that's what's making you so uncomfortable.
No, it's not. It's bad because I like that shit. I'm usually into like having a conversation. I love having a conversation with a person. It's just different. There's a funk to it.
It's like a judgment funk, like you're going to say the wrong thing.
A bit of a judge.
Because I've gotten that at a coffee shop before where the dude or lady or person was very cool.
Just very, yeah.
And I knew, like, I knew that if I was just like, I would just like, there's, especially here in Los Angeles, where like, I just want a cup of like drip coffee. And then they like artisanally like pour hot water over a single cup. Brew into a glass pitcher, and the whole time they're just like staring at me as they do it, as though I'm supposed to be impressed that they can pour water over coffee. And then they hand me the coffee, and I'm like, okay, cool. And that's $6. Great. Thank you so much.
In one transaction with these two boys, one of them quoted Monty Python at me twice. That's where we're at.
That's rough.
That shouldn't be weaponized.
It's been aerosolized, and it was sprayed in my fucking face and into my nose and mouth and into my breath system.
Okay. I feel like if you want to keep talking to this, going to this store, you have to.
If you want to keep dating this Starbucks.
If you want to keep in this committed relationship with your local Starbucks, you need to talk to this person and ask them what their fucking story is. That would shut it down, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, the problem is it is impossible for us to calculate whether or not some sort of like flirtation or sexual attraction is like figuring into this. Like, is this someone who is very bad at like who has read The Game one too many times and thinks that like consistent eye contact is hugely important?
Is that a Grisham novel?
Yeah, it's a movie where I think it's Michael Douglas.
Yeah.
He like... is in a big game.
No, where they just neg on each other.
They just neg each other back and forth and back and forth, and at the end he gets thrown off a building.
I think the key to making that work, Justin, because I think you're right. I think you have to find a window of so they're doing something that you can maybe they're reading a paper or like something that you can comment on rather than just walking up to them and going, "Hello, I'm Steven," or you know what I mean? Like,
right.
You need some, because if they respond like, "Yeah, go fuck yourself," then you're like, "Oh, cool, I get exactly what's going on now." But if they do read the situation as whatever interaction you try to have with them, you are flirting with them, and as far as they're concerned, it's on, you do need to pull out and go to a different coffee shop from now on. That coffee shop is
dead. I say fuck that. Don't even give them a fucking chance. It is a consumer-facing business, and you're uncomfortable with the treatment of the consumers, and that's all that matters, baby. Buck stops here. Customer's always right. Consumer's always right.
Do you complain, Griffin?
No, you fucking bounce. You go somewhere else and give them their dollars, and maybe somebody will... all I need is just a coffee and a banana and a have a nice day. That's all I need. Coffee, check. Banana, check. Go fuck yourself. Not a check. I'm going to go somewhere else.
I actually wouldn't mind if I was buying coffee and a banana, and then I handed them the money, and they said, okay, thanks, go fuck yourself. I actually would be okay with that as an interaction.
Okay, so Dick's last... cafe.
Yeah, I would know exactly where I stood with that coffee shop.
Excuse me, fellas. I need to take a quick sidebar to talk about the pickup artist.
Oh,
I think
Jesus.
The greatest injustice in human history is that we were not producing this show at the same time in synchronicity with a hit series called The Pickup Artist.
We would have known that it was about to like ruin fucking everything, right?
Just the worst thing. Now, this show, if you missed it, starred a guy literally named Mystery who wore a hat that he definitely wore. And if you can look up a picture of Mystery's hat, you'll very much appreciate what a commitment that is to his whole Steve.
Mystery spelled in the traditional spelling of the name or like Mr. E?
It's just Mystery. And his real name is Eric Von Markovic.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm just super quick. There were, it looks like, 8 contestants in the first season of The Pickup Artist where he tried to teach these fellas how to score bibs. And I'm just going to read you
their status. They were fighting for bibs? Like that you put
bibs? Predacious bibs.
Super quick. I'm going to tell you the stat. I'm not going to tell you their names because who gives a shit. I want to tell you the reasons that they're on the show. 8 quick reasons. Here we go. 1, freezes up around women.
Yeah.
Brady, lacking in self-confidence.
You just said you weren't going to say their names.
I changed my mind. Joe D, the, quote, friend to girls. Joe D, friend to all girls. Pradeep.
Oh, Joe D? Oh, nice, yeah. We're going to go have a picnic tomorrow, and it's going to be great. Oh, I have a picnic plan with Joe D. He's every girl's friend.
Pradeep overanalyzes and talks too much. Joe W starts off strong, but often fails fast. Scott gets very nervous and stutters around women. Fred, 40-year-old virgin. Plus 5. He's 45.
Gotcha.
And then lastly, there's Stephen Poon, or Spoon, who does not know how to approach women. He was eliminated first.
Hi, I'm Spoon.
Wait,
get
you
the
get
fuck
eliminated
out.
From this game?
You get eliminated from the game. Which
you'll
I guess
never
is
a, talk to women.
You'll
get
never
out of here.
Be able to talk to women.
I feel like we all got eliminated from this game because even if you miss, I never watched The Pickup Artist. But I feel like on a daily basis, I experience the ripples, the shock waves that it sent out across our cultural landscape.
I'm so sad we weren't. We missed the reception on Wikipedia. The initial viewer ratings were disappointing, debuting with only 672,000 viewers.
That depends on who you are. Because to me, nobody watched this fucking show. That does not disappoint me. That
makes me feel pretty good.
That appoints me a major way.
Griffin is appointed now.
I have
to
been
a higher
appointed.
Level.
Fuck that show. Fuck everybody. Fuck all those guys. Fuck this show. Fuck Mystery.
That show was executive produced by J.D. Roth, who you'll remember as the host of Finders Keepers.
Back on the O Network.
Maybe on O? And
I would
all
watch
women.
That.
Gender-flipped pickup artist.
Just, but that's the twist. Is like at the end, like women are judges. And they're just like, okay, behave. Nope. You did bad.
Be a good human being.
Oh, you failed.
You messed up.
No.
Let's take a quick break and go to the Money Zone. My brother made a support in part by Squarespace. Travis, what the hell is that?
Squarespace?
Yeah. What the fuck is that?
You tried Roundspace, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And how Roundspace makes really shitty, hard-to-make websites?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Squarespace makes easy, good websites.
Why did they do that the first time around?
Well, because they weren't sure what they were like, let's cut corners, and they made Roundspace. And then they said, you know what? Slap those corners back on there. That's where all the programming was.
Yeah.
And they glued the corners back on, and they made Squarespace. Squarespace.
Roundspace, by the way. Roundspace is a UK-based professional training and coaching outfit. And you just put them in the fucking trash, didn't you?
Whoops. Yeah, or in the winner circle. You're welcome for the free mention. Back to Squarespace, though.
Squarespace is host to the McElroyShows.com website, where you can find all of the McElroy projects, including YouTube stuff and other
That's
podcasts.
Weird. This feels
and,
like a commercial for us.
Commercial
almost.
For us.
Well, no, but hear
weird.
Me out.
Good twist.
Because when I started it, I envisioned, like, well, this is going to be tough, so I'll just put a couple links on there. And then as I was doing it, I realized how not only easy, but also like versatile it was. Like the things you're able to do with very, very, very little expertise and knowledge of what you're doing and end up with a very professional looking website that people have asked me, like, well, who did this? And I was like, I did it in about 2 hours. And I'm able to jump in and make edits and improve things and add new stuff on a whim. And it's so fast and easy. And also, I have, you know, had professional websites made before, and as a cost-effective option, Squarespace really, really delivers. I highly recommend it, and you can start a free trial today if you go to squarespace.com/mybrother and check it out. You can start a trial without having to pay for anything, and then if you're like, you know what, I really like the website, I really like the way this is looking, you pay to publish, and trust me, you won't regret it. Squarespace. Nope. You should. Squarespace.
Squarespace. You should Squarespace.
Get your Squarespace on your left now.
I'm going to tell y'all about Club W. It's an exclusive club, by which I mean you can get into it if you go to Club W and go to their website and sign up for it. But it's very exclusive. Because what does that W stand for? Weapons.
What?
They send you a new weapon every week. This week I got a big old club, and it's got a gun in the handle of it. It's a gun club.
None of that's true.
No, the W actually stands for Winslow. It is a club, and we all get together every week and we talk about our favorite sort of Family Matters stuff.
That's also not true.
Not true. Tell the truth.
Okay. Club W is an exclusive club where we talk about Family Matters. Guys, I can't.
No, it's not.
It's about wine.
It is a wine club.
It's Griffin, a wine thing.
You fucking know that.
Club W... it allows you to sort of get past all of the stuff where you're shopping for wine and you don't know what any of the words or like flavor profiles mean, and you just want some wine to have with your fish or your steak or whatever. But you want something good? Well, Club W's got your back. It's a revolutionary new wine club that sends wine directly to your door. It saves you all the trips to the grocery store, all the like being awkward, standing in the wine aisle, just like picking up bottles and looking at them and pretending to know what the fuck they're all about. Club W asks you a 6-question quiz, and then it sort of determines what your palate is based on that quiz. So every bottle that you get is perfectly tailored to your tastes. It works directly with vineyards, cuts out the middlemen, saves you money, and it's got a no-risk guarantee that you will love drinking what they send you. Right now, Club W is offering listeners $20 off your first order if you go to clubw.com/mybrother. All one word. Again, clubw.com/mybrother. It gets better. They'll pay for your shipping on orders of 4 bottles or more. So take something off your to-do list. You need some wine? Just go to clubw.com/mybrother. Get $20 off your first order now. It's clubw.com/mybrother.
Here's a message to Emily Lloyd from Liam S. Smith, and it reads, "Dear Emily, a.k.a. Reagan, I hope this belated, you know it, homie, birthday message fills you with delight and reminds you that you have peeps in your corner all the way across the sea. Happy birthday. I hope you and Patty keep killing it in the UK. Never forget, you are Emily Lloyd." Oh, that's so fucking fresh, isn't it?
Wow.
Never forget, you are Emily Lloyd.
In all things, you are Emily Lloyd. You are constant as the Northern Star.
That's so good that for a second there, I thought I was Emily Lloyd.
No.
Today, we are all Emily Lloyd.
Lots of love, your pal Liam. You are Emily Lloyd. You are the Northern Star, the Polaris, around which all of us must navigate. You are Emily Lloyd.
This is actually from your pal Liam and everyone else, but they didn't pay for this message. I like that, Liam. Fuck them.
Yep.
Put up or shut up. Got another message here. This one's for Jer and Richie, and it's from Sia. By the chandelier singer. Jer and Richie, this message is from Sian, who says, "This is what it would feel like if the Brothers McRoy knew you existed. Please enjoy this fleeting moment of recognition." Yep. Can the three of us just sort of say our favorite thing about Jer and Richie?
Their names sound really good when you say them together. Sure. They have a good mouthfeel. Jer and Richie.
I like the way that they're always together. Like, you never just see Jer, you never just see Richie. It's a really pretty sweet package deal.
Jer can jump really high, and Richie is gluten intolerant.
Yeah.
Which Jer I like. Jer can jump really high. At least high. More bread for me.
Jer can jump really high, and Richie can duck really fast. It makes for a lot of really fun.
Yeah, they do like
antics and stuff.
You're just like walking in the movie theater, and then all of a sudden you look behind you and just whoop, 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 whoop.
New to Maximum Fun, the Beef and Dairy Network podcast, the number one podcast for those involved or just interested in the production of beef animals and dairy herds. All sponsored by Grazex, the latest grass replacement pellet from Mitchell's. If it's not Mitchell's, get back in the truck. Find us at MaximumFun.org or on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast from. And if it's not clear, this is a comedy podcast. Beef out.
Recently, I helped a friend move.
Can I?
Working for,
no.
What?
I think I want to do Yahoo.
Okay, go for it.
Actually, I think I want to... Somebody sent me a tweet.
Okay, and it's not really...
Well, no, it's pretty... This tweet is pretty dark. I don't know if I should say the user or not. Let's talk about it first, and we can say, like... If we want to like mention the user's name, but it's a picture of apparently it's very dark, but apparently it's a picture of them just like smoking a joint. And they said, "Good Games Inc.," which is almost the name of the video game podcast I do with Nick Robinson at Polygon. That's Cool Games Inc. What I'm doing while listening to your podcast, enjoying a jazz cigarette at home. And it's just like a picture of them like smoking up a duper. And then I sort of went through their account, and that's exclusively this person's activities. Trends like these, what I'm doing while listening to your podcast, getting some exercise, playing some b-ball. And sure enough, here's a picture of a basketball court. Got one to Oh No, Ross and Carrie. What I'm doing while listening to your podcast, relaxing before picking up my wife from work. And this is just like a picture from a bed where somebody's lying down.
That's so fresh.
I'm like really very into it. It's Francis Reed. Maybe they've only been doing this for about a month or so, but I'm into this. Well, first of all, I love when people send me a picture of them doing drugs because I see that. I'm like, fucking cool. Yes. Yes, my people.
Love drugs.
Drugs, top notch. It's so important in there's just a flood of social media presences in the world, and it's so important to establish like what's your brand, you know, what's what's your thing? And if your thing is letting podcasts know what you're doing while you're listening
to
them.
Guys, listen. If you ever are listening to us make our jokes and you say, this seems like the kind of thing I would love to spark up to, don't be afraid. We're not fucking cops. We will not narc you out. Send me those pics of you sparking one up to our jokes.
And I want to be clear. It doesn't have to just be that. If you're also like slamming a brew,
I'm gonna go ahead and say it's explicitly sparking up a drawing.
I want pictures of people slamming brews.
Okay,
Francis hasn't limited himself to that. Francis exactly. He tweeted at Julian Loves Music. What I'm doing while listening to your podcast, making tuna pasta bake. That's so great. Like that's such a great account. I'm gonna give the information. WIDWILTYP with an app before it. This is a fucking good account. If you see this person tweeting, please tweet at them like you're crushing her.
Nice,
right now.
Dude. Blazing up.
What I'm doing while listening to your podcast? Forging an axe. There's one where he's just forging an axe.
Yeah, that's
God. Is it the different podcasts inspire him to do different things, or is he just like relegated that like I only listen to Hello from the Magic Tavern while I forge an axe?
Let's do a Yahoo. This one was sent in by Morgan Davey. Thank you, Morgan. It's by Yahoo Answers user.
Following this person right now.
U2K, at U2K, heart, who says, who believes Bruce Willis is a Yahoo user? I accidental found a Bruce Willis user account, and I fanboxed that user's... What?
What? Is that like shadow boxing?
And I fanboxed that user's and also ask him a few Q if he really is. Then he knows my husband and can answer those four Q. Over 3,000 idiots answered that user's Q and many stared it, etc. How stupid are people? Can anyone in Yahoo verify that it's him? I just called that user out. I call him a lair. And if he could answer those four cues, I'd know for real. Okay.
So it's basically like, tell me something only Bruce Willis would
know. So I think just sort of reading, I think this may be written in, is there a different version of English that that like reads like Arabic where you're supposed to go right to left? Because that's the only way that I can sort of piece this one together.
Is there a part in this question where this person says their husband knows Bruce Willis?
I think it says their hubby knows Bruno, and I know things. He's relayed information to me that only the real Bruno would know. I don't want any fake Brunos in the mix.
So this person asked questions maybe about, hey, if it's really you, Bruce, tell me what my husband's favorite animal is. You would know.
Do you think Bruno uses Yahoo Answers?
How else does he find stuff out?
That is a good question. How do you learn stuff? Sometimes I like to think of, like, I'm wishing on the same big bright star as Bruno. Because, like, I think about, like, he has to at least accidentally have stumbled onto Yahoo Answers at some point. And just, like, maybe it was the same time that I was having a session on Yahoo.
We've passed 300. What if he's listening right now? What if he's listening to this going, I am a Yahoo
that's
user.
Too much, that's
I
too
found
much to
it
ask.
Through your show.
No, that's too much to ask. I would just be happy to know that we have both used the same website at a certain point.
You've probably both used Google.
What do you think is a better album title?
Okay.
Bruce Willis's The Return of Bruno or Aerosmith's Honkin' on Bobo? Between those two, which is the better album title?
Bruno, if we could somehow do like a Gray album mashup of the two, Honkin' on Bruno.
Yeah.
And thank you, Justin, for that mind voyage that just discovered the name of episode 302 of My Brother, and Me.
A lot of harmonica work by Steven Tyler on Honkin' on Bobo. Yeah. And I know you might be thinking, where did you get that fucking crazy name? Joe Perry stated in a radio interview, "We just know that it's a phrase that sounds jazzish, nastyish, so it works for us."
It is I wouldn't say it was nastyish. I would just say remove the ish from that. It's just plain nasty.
Here's a fun sort of thought experiment.
Think of a sex act that could not be described as honking on Bobo.
Now write it down on a piece of paper and mail it to P.O. Box.
Yeah. Butt stuff? No.
It's like the universal sex solvent. Like everything can fit into honking on Bobo.
A Billy job? I think that might be the actual definition of honking on Bobo.
Yeah, all of them.
Just like really effing the S out of a clown, that's a little on the nose. And it would be on the nose.
The Return of Bruno was an album released by Bruce Willis. If It Don't Kill You, It Just Makes You Stronger is an album by Bruce Willis.
Excellent.
And his third album released in 1999 is...
1999?
Well, it's classic Bruce Willis. So they've apparently taken some of the biggest hits from his first two albums and turned it into sort of a greatest hits called classic Bruce Willis.
Hold up. Did he name his first album Return of Bruno?
Yes, Travis. He did do this thing you said.
Now,
his first album?
Now, yes. Can I just, real quick, can we establish, was it a Chris Gaines fugue state? Or was this the same, this a Bruce Willis you know and love? Only this time, he's doing something a little bit different, which is to say, he's honking on Bobo.
It was a tie-in with Hudson Hawk.
It is, okay, so The Return of Bruno.
Oh boy, we're really getting into it now.
You gotta go deep, because like, I've been obsessed with the name of this album forever. Apparently, there was also a one-hour HBO special. It is a mockumentary starring Bruce Willis as his fictitious alter ego, Bruno Radellini. It was indeed a Chris Gaines fugue state.
Oh shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
What the fuck?
Fuck, dude.
You know that this motherfucker covered Secret Agent Man?
Yeah, I can't. I'm looking at my copy of Surrogates right now, and I'm weeping, and we need to move on because it's starting to hurt. Is he a Yahoo answers user? Has he ever
said... I would have said no before.
Yeah.
I'm starting to feel very
He might not be, but Bruno might be.
Maybe Bruno... Oh, man, no, I don't use it, but Bruno, he loves it. What?
He won't shut up about it.
Won't shut up about it. I don't even know how to use a computer. It's a computer,
It's
Bruce.
Computer. It's pronounced computer. I'm just looking at on Yahoo. Oh, what'd you find?
It's just a fucking look he's giving on this album cover.
No, it's very
like,
good.
It's like, oh yeah, it's me, Brucey boy, and I'm here to sing you some tunes. It's me, I'm back, I'm Bruno. It should be like it's a Bruce Willis solo album. The only acceptable look is like penance. Like, yeah. I'm sorry. I know you bought this because you enjoy my acting. Do you like the song Secret Agent Man?
I'm just like, I did a quick Yahoo search for Bruce Willis Bruno on Yahoo Answers. Found this one is by Yahoo Answers user. Sorry, something's gone wrong. Is Bruce Willis a good singer? Do you remember the Return of Bruno in the 90s? Do you remember the cover version of Under the Boardwalk he did? So this could ostensibly be Bruno asking the question. Somebody says, I am sure he's a good singer as he is a Yahoo Answers user. Lol. So this is 8 years ago. I'm starting to think there may be a little bit of credibility. Somebody says, yes, a good bedroom singer. What the fuck, dude?
What?
What does that mean?
He's thirsty, what? Thirsty for that Bobo.
When he's hung to that Bobo, he's really, really going to town lyrically.
His cover of Under the Boardwalk was the number two massive smash in the UK. Hey, the UK, are you okay? Right now? Are you doing all right? Seems like you made Bruce Willis a big singing sensation over there with this cover of a 150-year-old song.
An episode, I just Googled Yahoo Answers Bruce Willis. We are one of the top results because apparently in episode 74 of My Brother and Me, we addressed the question, how can I overcome my fear of Bruce Willis? do you want to read a question, Justin?
Yeah, I'd love that. Recently, I helped a friend move working for about 6 hours for no compensation other than a promised dinner that never came. While helping carry a TV downstairs, I tripped over a hole in the sidewalk and hit the TV into the ground. It looked fine until I plugged it in. When we saw what looked like green ooze... it's turning a Goosebumps book. When I saw what looked like green ooze dripping down the picture...
I just imagined the cover, yeah, and it's two boys sitting on a couch while green ooze comes out of a TV, and then underneath it, in that Goosebumps font, it just says, I fucked up.
Sorry, Derek, by R.L. Stein.
Oh, fuck, Derek. I really goobered it up this time, bud.
I goosed your bumps. I'm sorry, Derek.
Why is there green goo in the TV? What? Okay.
Slime time, colon. I done fucked up, Derek.
Okay. It looked fine until I plugged it in. When we saw it looked like green ooze dripping in the picture on the top right. What do I owe my friend? I offered my slightly smaller TV, a 45-inch, to replace the 50-inch I damaged, but he wants to replace it with a new one. How much should I contribute to a $450 replacement for a mistake I made while helping for free? That's from Alex Martin.
Are you going to say none? None dollars?
None dollars, right? None. Like, if he had wanted somebody who wouldn't break his shit, he should have hired a professional.
It's like, kind of the risk of, like, moving.
Yeah, when you roll up to help a friend move, you're like, hey, so do you want the $50 Derek insurance plan? So if I break into your, you give me $50. If I break into your shit, I'll replace. That's not how any of that works.
That's not how any of the, like, you've carried a TV in your life, what, like, maybe 10 times? Like, I'll tell you this, it's a damn sight short of, like, 10,000 hours. You need to be an expert TV carrier. They should have known better.
I would say that, especially if your friend, and it doesn't sound like from the question, isn't asking you to pay for it, I think that you don't have to feel any kind of guilt or any kind of, like, remorse about what happened. Because, you know, accidents happen. Now, if you had, like, gotten really mad because no pizza was delivered and you smashed the TV on the ground,
yeah,
it's a different scenario.
Yeah. The fact that he doesn't want to replace it with the 45-inch tells me this is just somebody who's got a hankering to buy a new TV. And it's pretty exciting. They might have put that green ooze on there themselves because it doesn't make a damn lick of sense otherwise.
Oh, you think they jellied up the base before you started carrying it. And then slippy slip slip on that raspberry jam.
Oops-a-daisies.
Well, that's on you, Derek. Here's the TV I want. I have a coupon for it right here in my pocket. Isn't that weird?
I think you're going to want to go with this 50-inch. The blacks are real black. It's got really good clarity. The sound's just amazing. And there's just plenty of green ooze in there. Now, you want to be careful, because if that green ooze gets loose, it will ruin the TV and curse you forever.
Everything you do to destroy this, let's just call it what it is, monster blood, is only going to make it double in size and volume.
But that's 1082p. So, it's, like,
yeah, that ooze gets you that two extra P's. And nobody's quite sure what P's are still, like, to this day. But I think when you're watching the Civil War on it, it just makes it.
You're going to love it.
If it is released, it's going to eat your friends. It's going to eat your babysitter. And every person that eats, it's going to make it more insane.
Your dog's going to eat some of it, and it's going to taste like lime jello. But then that dog, kiss goodbye.
Yeah, it's going to turn into a monster dog, and you're going to have to kill it with a pickaxe.
Yep.
It'll be $450, please.
This is a good book. By the way, I'd read this book.
My favorite Goosebumps books are Camp Nightmare, the Choose Your Own Adventure one set in the amusement park, and then Slime Time, Oops, Derek, I Fucked Up.
TV Shopping.
My favorite is The Beast, which is a book Arl Stein wrote but does not. It's because it's set in Kings Island, a favorite haunt of ours as young men, but it is not in the officially licensed Goosebumps franchise, I guess you could say.
I like,
it's too explicit.
I like his sex romp, 50 Shades of Green. And this one is, they have sex with monster blood?
Okay, well, listen, that's going to do it for us. Thank you so much for listening to our program, My Brother and Me.
That one
don't
is,
go
that
anywhere,
one
we have huge news.
Huge news.
Oh, sorry, yes.
Don't change that dial.
This is huge.
This is huge. We've got two big live shows, and they're happening very, very, very soon. Unnervingly soon, I would say. Travis, why don't you tell everybody? You seem very excited about it.
It is June 3rd and June 4th. So, like,
in less than a fucking month. Yeah.
On June 3rd, Friday, June 3rd, we are going to be in Washington, D.C. And on June 4th, we are going to be in New York City.
I know we should have maybe been more explicit last time. I feel bad, actually, on how much we goofed on people. But we've never been to Washington, D.C. before, and we have a ton of listeners there. And
at least I fucking hope we do.
Yeah. Listen,
Barry Obama called and said, please come do a show. I really want to see it. So, what are we going to do? Say no?
D.C., June 3rd. We're going to be at the Lincoln Theater. You can find tickets for that show at bit.ly/mbmbamdc2016. Bit of a convoluted URL, but I bet it's the best.
That's only because I assume we'll be doing DC in 2017 and 2018 and 2019 when everybody rolls up and shows us their love.
Again,
I would say we'll never go again, so you better make it count.
Again, Lincoln Theater, June 3rd, Friday, June 3rd, bit.ly/mbmbamdc2016. And then New York City, Saturday, June 4th.
New York City!
Okay. We're going to be at the PlayStation Theater, which is very exciting. Can't wait to hang out with Crash Bandicoot.
Playing Uncharted 4.
Can't wait to hang out with Crash Bandicoot, all my friends. That's bit.ly/mbmbamnyc2016. You can find tickets for there. And when do the tickets go on sale, Trav?
They go on sale May 13th. That's this Friday at noon Eastern Standard Time.
So last time we came to New York, we played at a theater that was like 90 seats, and we sold out literally instantly. The PlayStation Theater is much, much bigger. I have no idea how quickly they're going to sell in D.C., but hopefully it won't be as big a shit show. But we cannot add extra shows to the docket. It's just these two. So get your tickets fast.
Just know that in the past, like, we don't put the tickets on sale. They go on sale from the venue. So that noon, like, we tried to really push the people to wait till noon, but it wouldn't hurt maybe to start checking in 15 minutes beforehand just to see if they're live yet. We've had issues with that in the past, so just a heads
up. We also are, it's not just going to be us. That would be boring. We are going to be joined at both shows by Sawbones, a marital tour of Misguided Medicine that I co-host with my wife, Sydney. And we've got special podcast guests for both of the shows, right?
Yes, that is correct.
In New York City, you're going to be able to see Still Buffering before Sawbones. And then in D.C.,
you're going to get to see Schmanners. Which is the show that I do with my wife about etiquette in the modern world. It'll be our first live show. We're very, very, very excited.
Yeah, first for Still Buffering, too. So that's going to be huge. Big shows. Three podcasts for the price of one. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Now, if you want to see a live Rose Buddies, you tell me what the fuck that looks like. You tell me how to... do that. Do we spend an hour making the audience watch an episode of The Bachelor before we talk about it? I don't know. It's the eternal puzzle.
We'll also tweet when the tickets go live. Just don't
sleep on it, because I'm pretty sure they're reserved seats. So
yeah.
Like, don't sleep on it. Just, like, buy your tickets.
Don't miss out.
If you got questions for us, send them to mbmbam@maximumfun.org. Travis already mentioned mcelroyshows.com. There's a lot of other great Max Fun shows. Beef and Dairy Network is, like,
my
favorite new thing. It's so funny. Listen to it. It's 10 minutes long.
I also want to say, Dear Hank and John, the podcast that Hank Green and John Green do, they've plugged us a couple times, and it's a really great show.
It is a fantastic show.
Absolutely lovely people.
It's like our show if we were geniuses. Like,
had anything to fucking offer the world.
I got to hang out with Hank. He did an episode of Can I Pet Your Dog, and he's just an absolutely lovely human being. Thank you to them, and go check out their show.
Thanks to John Roderick and the Long Winters for the use of our theme song, It's a Departure, off the album Putting the Days to Bed. It's such a good album. I started listening to When I Pretend to Fall a lot, which is weird. It's not usually a summer album. That's more of a fall-winter album for me. But It's a wonderful album. Go check it out. And we have merch on Max Fun Store. It's maxfunstore.com. You can find it all there.
Perfect. That's going to do it for us. Griffin, do you have a final Yahoo to send us out?
Hell yeah. This one's sent in by Riding High, Zoe Kinski. Thank you, Zoe. It's by Yahoo Answers user Brian Cohen, who asks, if animals don't want to be eaten, why are they made of food?
I'm Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
Then my brother, and me, kiss your dad, square on the lips.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture. Artist owned.
Listener supported.
You guys, I'm so excited to introduce to you my new baby, Getting Curious with Jonathan Van Ness. This is going to be a really fun look at things that I find curious, whether it's a menstrual cup, it might be the Romanoff family, it might be fracking, it could be Carly Fiorina. I don't even know. Who knows? It's going to be whatever I think is interesting. I can't wait to bring it to you guys. We're going to be bringing in content experts. I'm going to be learning the things. It's only going to take about 30 minutes for you to expand your baby brains with me and have a super fun time. So I can't wait to see you on our first episode of Getting Curious.